You're listening to Just Ask the Question, Adventures in Reporting with your host, Brian Karam.
Hi, and welcome back to Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and with me today, it's a pleasure to have back Gabriel Shipton. Gabriel is Julian Assange's brother, and he's been fighting hard for Julian's freedoms for several years. And Julian got a reprieve in his fight against extradition to the U.S. this week after two judges ruled the WikiLeaks founder could take his case to an appeal hearing, but only if the Biden administration is unable to provide the court with suitable assurances. We're going to talk about all of that and a lot more, so stick around. We'll be right back.
In this modern age of misinformation and deceit, Just Ask the Questions newsletter cuts through the BS and gets to the truth with Brian's in-depth articles, columns, and exclusive content not released anywhere else. Get the scoop and stay in the know. Sign up for the Just Ask the Question newsletter now at substack.com/JATQ podcast.
Hi, we are back. It is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and with me is Gabriel Shipton. And Gabriel, I guess we'll just dive into it. The question I want to ask is Julian going to be free anytime soon?
Yeah, well, it doesn't look like it at the moment, Brian. We've had a sort of a stay of this extradition. The judges could have refused his application to appeal and ordered his extradition to the United States. But they've done this sort of strange sort of pseudo decision where they've hit the ball back to the United States Department of Justice now and asked for these diplomatic notes, these diplomatic assurances in the case, assuring that once pretty easy, a note saying that they wouldn't, that the death penalty wouldn't apply if Julian was extradited. The other one, I think, is a little bit troubling for the US DOJ, saying that the First Amendment protections and First Amendment freedoms extend to Julian for his work regarding, the publishing of this information. So I think that one, I think there's going to be some interesting gymnastics legal gymnastics from the US DOJ about how they can do that, how they can get around that without extending First Amendment protection to everybody, around the world, because that's potentially what could happen. And that's a result during the hearing, the judges actually said to the prosecutors, are you telling me that if anybody publishes this information, any journalist publishes this kind of information, under what you're proposing, you'd be able to extradite them to the United States? And the prosecutors had to say, yes, this would apply to any journalist, to any publisher who publishes that sort of information. So I think that the UK courts found that quite concerning, but they didn't quite have the courage to give.
Isn't that kind of against the First Amendment, prosecuting people for public? I mean, it makes a mockery of our First Amendment rights here in the US, I would think, to prosecute him for it. But
yeah, that's right. And I think, I think so. And there's all, the right to speech, but I think First Amendment rights are also, your right to know, your right to read the information as well. It extends to that as well. So, if this sort of reporting is being silenced, then it actually affects all Americans and their knowledge of what their institutions are up to, how they're overclassifying things and trying to hide their own crimes. Hide their own corruption. I think that's, what was really at stake in the prosecution of Julian. But he has April 17 is when these so-called assurances are due, and then the court will reconvene on May 20 to have a look at those assurances. But in the past, Amnesty International, there were some previous assurances that Julian would not be kept in Florence, Colorado, that supermax there, where people like El Chapo are, and that he wouldn't be kept under special administrative measures, SAMs. And those assurances were said by Amnesty International to not be worth the paper that they're printed on. So I think, you know, all, once Julian's on US soil, all bets are off when it comes to these so-called assurances.
Yeah, and the to spell it out, and I'll just go over it briefly. The applicant, Assange, is permitted to rely on the First Amendment. The applicant is not prejudiced at trial, including sentence, by reason of his nationality, that he is afforded the same First Amendment protections as a United States citizen, and that the death penalty is not imposed. Like you said, the last part is fairly easy for the U.S. to say yes to. It's that other part that is kind of it's concerning to all journalists as well, because it does mean that, you know, your First Amendment rights in this country have a predicate that we haven't had before. And that's concerning for anyone who wants to read news and anyone who wants to provide news. I was concerned about one of the reports that I read said at the 2-day hearing last month, Assange was too unwell to attend. Tell me what his physical and mental, what's his makeup today? Is he physically okay? Is he, and mentally, I mean, it's still got to be a hard challenge standing. He's been behind bars for quite a long time.
Yeah, that's right. On 11th of April will be his fifth year in a maximum security prison. He's spending most of his time in a 2 by 3 meter cell, you know, a cell that's sort of the same size as a lot of people's bathrooms. Actually, it's smaller than my bathroom at home. So just to give people an idea of the sort of, you know, confinement that he's in, he's not actually charged with anything in the United Kingdom. He's not serving a sentence. He's been kept there solely at the request of the Department of Justice. But I went to see him just after the hearing at the end of February. And, you know, it's shocking, Brian. Like, it's heartbreaking for me to see, you know, my older brother, someone who I looked up to, or who I do look up to, you know, throughout my life, you know, really being ground down by a never-ending legal proceeding, you know, ground down in this maximum security prison. He's 52 now, and he looks so much older than he actually is. And that's that, you know, this whole process manifesting itself physically on him. He's had, you know, a minor stroke while he's been in that prison. And so, you know, this is more evidence that, you know, this whole thing is just grinding away at him. It's this punishment by process. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Nils Melzer, actually called it a slow motion murder. You know, that it's a slow motion murder that's happening to Julian. And it's that example that's been set here, is that if you do this, if you embarrass us, if you publish this sort of information, make it public, then this is what is going to happen to you. And this really stemmed, I think, from, you know, in 2017, Mike Pompeo, in his first speech as CIA director, he sort of issued this fatwa against WikiLeaks and Julian, saying that he was going to make it his priority to pursue Julian Assange and pursue WikiLeaks. And that we can really measure from that point, from that speech of Mike Pompeo in 2017 up until we are now, the ramping up of activities against WikiLeaks and against Julian. And even the prosecution, the current indictment, emanated from that day. There was reporting by Yahoo News, you know, Mike Isikoff, who I'm sure you know, you know, did an investigation. They had 30 former intelligence sources, as well as current intelligence sources from the Trump administration, who confirmed that during that time, during Pompeo's tenure, there were plots to murder Julian, the sketches drawn up, and a kidnap plot that made it as high as the White House, as high as the Trump White House. And the reporting went on to say, well, if you kidnap him, the DOJ said, well, if you kidnap him, well, you know, what are you going to do with him? You can't just put him in Guantanamo. Wait for us to get an indictment together, And when you take him out, you know, we'll release this indictment. And so you have this sort of political timeline of from 2017 to 2019, when Julian was taken from the Ecuadorian embassy, and this continuation of this, you know, this Pompeo fatwa against WikiLeaks that continues under the Biden administration to this day. Interestingly, the Obama administration didn't prosecute Assange. You know, that's when this information came out, 2011, 2012. And Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General at the time, found that if they were to go after Assange, that they would have to go after the New York Times, which I think is a very considered, sensible sensible decision. And it was only during that crazy era, you know, with Pompeo, a CIA director, then State Department, and Trump in the White House, that this full-on attack on press freedoms was allowed to really emerge and be, you know, the DOJ was weaponized really to go after, you know, go after press freedoms and the First Amendment.
Yeah, and I want to get into this in the second segment, but before we break, he's not being prosecuted for any. I mean, there are a lot of people who say Julian Assange did this, Julian Assange did that, but the fact of the matter is he's being prosecuted for the dissemination of information and nothing more. Yes?
Well, that's right. It's publishing, possessing. So these sort of activities, journalistic activities that publishers do all the time, communicating with a source, is there's one charge that relates to communicating and talking with a source, the source, the journalist source relationship. So that part of that is part of the indictment as well. That's this criminalization. Ben Wisner from the ACLU has said that the indictment is attempting to criminalize the journalist-sourced relationship along with the publishing and sourcing of classified material, possession of classified material. You know, there's not a newsroom in the world that doesn't have some sort of classified material, you know, in it. So it could potentially be used against, you know, any publisher, any newsroom, any journalist.
And on that sad note, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to go over the steps forward. And I'd love to talk to you about the comparisons between this and the Evan Gershkovich case in Russia and how we're making a big stink over here about how we should free Evan. But no word about freeing Julian. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Just Ask the Question podcast listeners. If you've got a second, head on over to Twitter and follow our official page, JATQ Podcast.
That's JATQ Podcast.
In this modern age of misinformation and deceit, Just Ask the Questions newsletter cuts through the BS and gets to the truth with Brian's in-depth articles, columns, and exclusive content not found anywhere else. Get the scoop and stay in the know. Sign up for the Just Ask the Question newsletter now at substack.com/JATQ podcast.
Hi, we're back. It is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Kerman. Today, we're discussing a very serious topic. I myself have been jailed on more than one occasion for trying to publish news. I had to fight a previous presidential administration to keep a press pass. And I have not ever gone through no one has gone through what Julian Assange has gone through. 5 years in prison. And now a court has stayed his trip to the United States to face charges. There have been reports that the U.S. government was considering a plea deal to offer Assange a misdemeanor conviction, which would allow him to walk free from prison. And last week, in a 66-page judgment, the U.K. Home Secretary's lawyer had accepted that there was nothing in place to prevent Assange being charged in the U.S. without an offense that carried the death penalty and that being imposed. And his wife had said, and I'm sure you know her well, that this calls, I want to make sure I get the correct quote here. They should drop the shameful case that never should have been brought. This case is a retribution. It is a signal to all of you that if you expose the interests that are driving war, that will come after you. They will come after you. They will put you in prison and will try to kill you. So at the same time the U.S. government is going after Assange, it's defending Evan Gerskovich, who has spent a year in prison in Russia for doing essentially the same thing, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the advocacy efforts are severely decreased by Julian's continued incarceration. It's you know, interesting to see on X or Twitter or other social media, you know, social media platforms, when you see some advocacy from, you know, Secretary Blinken or others within the administration for Evan Gerskovich, a lot of the response is, well, what about, you know, what about what you're doing to Julian Assange? So I think that is part of it, this sort of, you know, standing of the US to be able to advocate for their own citizens, but also this race to the bottom that's going on, you know, chasing journalists from around the world, whether it's Evan Gershkovitz in Russia or Australian journalists who are charged under Chinese espionage law. So this sort of standard of charging journalists, charging publishers with espionage really started with Julian Assange. And that template is now being copied by more authoritarian countries like Russia, China, Vietnam, and so on.
Yeah, both Amnesty International and the National Union of Journalists urged the U.S. to drop Assange's extradition case. The U.N. Special Rapporteur on Torture, Dr. Alice Edwards, also said that she still had concerns about Assange's, quote, precarious mental health, unquote. And that's what you were referring to earlier. Hmm. A man spends 5 years in prison for doing nothing more than publishing news that the U.S. found to be uncomfortable. And, as you said, when first brought up, during the Obama administration, they chose not to prosecute him. It was the Trump administration that chose to prosecute him, and the Biden administration has gone along with it. And what I find reprehensible, and this is me as a journalist, is that we will cheer Evan in that newsroom. I stand with Evan. There will be questions about Evan. There will be statements from this Biden administration about how they support the free press, and yet Julian Assange remains in prison, and they try to draw a distinction that he somehow is not a journalist. That's got to be frustrating for you as a family member to hear that.
It is frustrating, but I think my heart goes out to you know, Evan Gershkovitz, Evan, and his family. I was able to meet his parents when I was at the State of the Union as Congressman Massey's guest, and I was at the speaker's reception. And Evan Gershkovich's parents were there, and I was able to meet with them, you know, express, you know, my sympathy for the plight of their son. Julian even wrote a letter to Evan and tried to send it to him, you know, telling him, you know, stay strong and relating it to his experience. So I was able to talk to his parents and convey that to them, you know, and I think as much as we've been critical here about the different treatment, I think it's important to remember there is a human and another family at the center of this, like there is with Julian's family. But I do think that, you know, we'll see the fifth anniversary of Julian's imprisonment coming up on the 11th of April. And I think it'll be telling if the hand-wringing that went on over the first anniversary of Evan Gershkovich is whether we'll see any sort of reaction coming up on the 11th of April. But this has become a real hot potato, I think, for the Biden administration. The last thing that they're going to want is a huge press freedom case, a huge First Amendment case arriving in the Eastern District of Virginia in an election cycle. So what we've seen is a growing constituency for Julian building in the Congress. I think there's around 20 Congress people now who support the Biden administration dropping these charges. So that's continually growing. And so I think there's this situation now where you know, the Biden administration is going to be looking at this and saying, well, you know, what do we benefit from this prosecution? And does it outweigh the political cost of pushing it forward?
Well, I in no way want to impugn Evan's family, and of course all of us feel for him, and I know you do too. I'm concerned about the hypocrisy of standing for one while prosecuting the other. So my question for you, and I guarantee you on April 11th, if I'm in the briefing room, I will ask the question if about hand-wringing. That will be brought up after 5 years in prison. How is your family holding up? And more importantly, we talked a little bit earlier about Julian. I know you say he seems older. Is he physically okay? I know mentally it's got to be a drain, but is there still hope that he, you know, that he'll be okay if he gets out?
Yeah, I'm told that he can recuperate and he can get better. You know, the doctors do say that if he gets out. But I think what we're really fearful of is that this extradition becomes imminent. And, you know, the expert witness testimony, the doctors said at the magistrate's level, which is why his extradition was rejected, you know, way back when it was at that first level of the UK courts, was that the extradition, an imminent extradition, would lead to his death. So that's what we're really, really afraid of. You know, my family's there, everyone's holding up. It was nice to be, you know, it's weird. Like, I go over to the UK for these hearings and they're very hard times, and they're, you know, we're all working really hard, doing lots of media and protests and things like that. But it's weird because it's one time where our family all gets together and we're able to all spend time together with my two little nephews, you know, Julian's
kids. How old are
they out? They're 5 and 6 years old. They're beginning to understand more and more about what's happening to Julian and the injustice around this case. It's always amazing, you know, when you explain it to a child, they seem to understand it better than most adults. You know, Julian's in prison for he didn't do anything wrong. He told the truth, and the kids, you know, instantly understand that the injustice. Whereas some adults, you know, they're doing this sort of acrobats and backflips trying to sort of explain it all. But, you know, when you get down to the sort of brass tacks on it, the kids really understand. But they've only known Julian, you know, in the prison. They call it Daddy's house. Yeah. That's the only place they've ever known him. They don't know their dad, you know, outside the prison. So
one of them was born, right? His youngest was born while he was in prison, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So, it's heartbreaking scenario, but, you know, we're sort of fighting to get Julian out and he can be back with his kids, I hope, one day.
We're going to take another short break. When we come back, let's take a look at what happens in the next few months and where we go from there. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. We're talking to you, and we need your help. As you probably know, independent journalism is a vital pillar of our democracy. Like everything else, it's not free. We're asking all longtime listeners of the show to help support us by becoming a member on Patreon. For the price of a latte, you can help guard democracy. Join us today at patreon.com/JATQ podcast. to help us keep bringing you the podcast you love and the facts you deserve.
Hi, we're back. It's Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and we're talking with Gabriel Shipton about his brother, Julian Assange, who coming up in less than 2 weeks will have spent 5 years in prison for publishing WikiLeaks. That would be like the U.S., in the U.S., if someone from the New York Times or the Washington Post, when they published the Pentagon Papers, had spent 5 years in prison. And as we all know, that didn't happen. And each day our government tells us that they support free press. Well, except for Donald Trump, who calls us the enemy of the people. But most other members of the government tell us they support and nurture a free press. And yet Julian Assange has spent 5 years for doing just what many of us in the free press do every day. So I'd like you, Gabriel, to just maybe tell me where we're going, what happens, in less than 3 weeks when the U.S. government answers the questions brought by the courts in England and what the next steps are, if they find in favor of the U.S. or they don't.
So they have until 17th of April to give these diplomatic notes to the UK courts. Then there will be another hearing on May 20th. And so you've got this sort of ticking clock scenario again for Julian, where come May 20th, his extradition could be ordered again. He could be put on a plane, you know, within 24 hours to the Eastern District of Virginia. But I think what we've really seen is this sort of upwelling of support from around the world and people understanding how scandalous this prosecution is. You know, it's not just these groups of Congress people, but also the Australian Parliament. You know, two-thirds of the Australian Parliament put through a resolution calling on the US and the UK to bring this to an end. And they also, in the resolution, it also acknowledged that Julian was a journalist and that he was imprisoned for publishing the inconvenient truths about US wars abroad. So a very strongly worded resolution there from the Australian Parliament. We had the German Chancellor, you know, the head of the German government, the German Chancellor just 2 weeks ago saying that the UK should not extradite Julian. So there's this this sort of political snowball that is building around the world of these groups, governments, world leaders, all calling for this prosecution to be dropped. If Julian wins on May 20th, then there'll be another hearing down the track where they'll hear, you know, on these limited appeal points. But even then, the US DOJ has another opportunity to appeal to the Supreme Court. And so we just see this punishment by process, this ongoing legal proceeding that is keeping Julian Assange in prison and keeping this precedent in place that journalists all around the world are under attack. And it's that example that has been set by the US DOJ and been followed by these authoritarian regimes such as China, Russia, you know, even Azerbaijan. They bring up Julian Assange when they're confronted with their record on journalists. So, you know, the Biden administration now has this opportunity now that, you know, this window, they've got an opportunity to let this go, to move on, wipe the slate clean from these attacks on press freedom by the Trump administration and take up that goodwill that's out there for the prosecution to be dropped, the goodwill from the press freedom organizations, as well as the New York Times and many other press outlets.
You know, what I've been told many times, and this is true technically and in fact, it's up to the Department of Justice and not the President of the United States. However, the President of the United States could make a strong worded message saying he would support the release of Julian Assange, which he hasn't done. And when you ask the DOJ, they say they're following guidelines, well-established guidelines. In your interactions with the DOJ, what have they told you about Julian? Did I lose you? he's still there?
No. Well, my interactions with the Department of Justice, I met with them probably in October last year, and they were, you know, hard. They are pursuing Julian and pursuing Julian with gusto. And are very adamant that he should be brought to the US to face these charges. And that's my experience with them. But I don't think they're going to make a decision in isolation. I think they will consult, you know, with the White House. I don't think they will make a decision on this, you know, such a high-profile case without consultation, whether it's with the White House, with the State Department, or with other institutions that have an interest in this prosecution.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it is their decision, and they have told you they are pursuing it. Yeah, that's so as we come to a close here, anything you'd like to say to American viewers about what's going on and what you would like to see the Department of Justice do? I mean, I know we'd like to see him freed, but where would you advise Americans to go to find out the truth and to voice their opinion about freeing Julian?
Well, they could, you know, follow, if they're on X or Twitter, they could follow myself, Gabriel Shipton. I'm always posting, you know, good information. You can call your representative. There's a House Resolution 934. It has 11 co-sponsors on it. We're trying to get that to 20 now. And that's calling on the Biden administration to drop the charges. So you can call your rep, get them to ask them to support that resolution that is in, you know, before the Judiciary Committee. You can go to action.assangecampaign.org. That's action.assangecampaign.org. And, you know, sign a petition there or make a donation. So there's a very, you know, low effort things that you can do, how you can contribute to the fight to free Julian.
Well, Gabriel, I appreciate your time. And we'd love to have you back, and we'll update everyone. And I will, of course, be writing something about this as well. I find it abysmal that we are still in this day and age prosecuting Julian Assange. I want to thank you again for joining us. The name of the show is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and we will catch you next time.